Acts chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. You get the Romans back up. It is hot in here.
I'm just
going to,
that's going to be that friend, this man, we're in good shape.
That's funny how that got hooked up, but anyway. All right, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. You can see prejudice all the way back to there. because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitudes of the disciples, multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren," in other words, because of, or so then, "look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. That makes you wonder if they were Baptists. Just an inside joke. Anyway, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. All right. So, what is a deacon? That's the question of these few verses here. What is a deacon? Really, I'm going to give you what Noah Webster 1828 dictionary says. It is a person in the lowest degree of holy orders. The office of deacon was instituted by the apostles. Acts 6, and seven persons were chosen at first to serve at the feast of Christians and distribute bread and wine to the communicants, and to minister the wants of the poor. That's a lot. Really and truly what a deacon is, for one, we'll look at it in the pastor's way. I'll just put it this way. They are help to the pastor visiting. They're help to the pastor in prayer. They may fill the pulpit in the pastor's absence. When it comes to the church, there's things that are needed and done around the church, such as yard maintenance, fixing things, just, you know, help see to the widows, by the way. We got any widows here? No. Yeah, we do. Miss Betty's a widow. Miss Annie's a widow. Miss Barbara's a widow. There's several. But anyway, they help see to that. Or even others, it don't have to be a widow, others that need some special care of whatever, you know, may be, et cetera. You can go on and go on and go on. Really, just to be up front, it's a servant of the Lord. That's what a deacon is. They're a servant of the Lord, and they work in the church. And now, never underestimate the devil. Don't ever underestimate the devil. And we can see he was at work. even in the church at Jerusalem, that, by the way, Jesus started, if the devil cannot destroy by attacks from without, he'll destroy by attacks from within. If in other words, if he can't get to us from the outside, then he'll get to us from the inside. And that's what you see in this. It's seen in these verses in the early, in those days of the early church. It was customary to make a disbursement to the poor widows of the church. But what do we see? It says here, it says, verse 1, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. It started right there. They were growing in number, big time. People were getting saved. They were being baptized into the church. I mean, word was getting out. And all of a sudden, Satan's like, I got to do something. I mean, he had already caused Peter and John to be arrested. We've read about that already twice. Then, what's the dude's name? Gamaliel? In a sense, he was a very wise individual. Because he said, hey, he said, you guys ought to back off of these guys. Because if they're of God, listen, you can get in big trouble. You're going to be against God, what you're going to be. I mean, I think he had a little bit of sense with that. But you see, Satan was using them to try to stop what was going on, but it didn't work. Man, they come out of there fired up after getting beat. They were happy, went back and was thrilled to death and gave testimony. Can you imagine that? We come back to the church one Wednesday or Sunday and, oh, let me give you a testimony. I was witness to somebody and they arrested me and beat me with a whip. Woo! No, we'd be saying, I'm going to show them. But that, listen, that's what they did. They came back. They was excited that they suffered persecution for Jesus. And the devil's scratching his head like, good grief, I got to do something. And then it hit him. He says, oh, I know. And I'll stir them old Greeks up over the Hebrews. And I got to look at it and say, maybe he kind of put it in their head, you know, the Grecians, maybe the Hebrews were looking at them as, you guys are, you know, outsiders anyway. You're not a Hebrew. We're God's chosen. I mean, maybe that was part of the argument. I don't know. But nonetheless, he stirred them up and got murmurings going on and was causing a problem. So we see that, listen, you got to be very careful. We have to be real careful because if Satan can't cause us enough problems outside, he'll come in and cause us problems. He can cause us problems on the inside. Well, I don't like that vase sitting back there. I don't know what nut put that back there. I'd get in trouble because that's my wife. And look, I mean, really? No, but that's how simple these things start. Just little bitty things like that. And man, Satan will get in there and just stir and he causes a lot of problems. But now the 12, it says, called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So basically they chose the deacons for a purpose. Now for more on deacons, we can go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You can read that 8 through 13, and we don't have to get into that tonight, but which we've studied before. But they, for one, I want you to look at three things. For one, they chose people of good reputation. They were reputable. In other words, they were without disgrace and without discredit. That's what they looked for. They looked for people that's full of the Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. In other words, somebody that was really trying to allow the Lord to work in their life, and you could see that. And now remember this morning's sermon. Ain't none of us here going to be perfect, okay? But we can be striving. We need to be progressing for that. And full of wisdom. You ever heard of horse sense? Common sense? That's pretty much what it's talking about. Somebody that has some common sense about them. You want common sense. I think that's important to have common sense. So that's what we need to be looking for in when it comes to deacons. Now, verse 3, he says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." In other words, you find some people, you pray about it, you look, and they chose seven, which that doesn't mean people have to choose seven. They chose seven. And then they said that, and bring them to us. And we'll discuss it further, pray about it further. And then they chose them. But now verse 4, where did my verse 4 go? There it is. I was looking the wrong page. "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now, really, that's an important verse. Verse 4 really is an important verse, it's an important thing to look at. They had an order, the apostles did, about what they were going to be doing as leaders of the church. James at that time was a pastor, so I would say that, he was involved in that. First off was prayer. They said, we need to be taking time to pray. Now, you know, prayer's important, but it's important for a pastor, for the apostles in that day, a pastor today, a teacher today of a class. Prayer is important for a lot of reasons. And one of the main reasons is, I wrote this down, before I speak to you about God, I must speak to God about you first and about me first. In other words, I don't need to come up here and just say, well, that looks like that'll preach. That's an old saying with preachers, you know, they hear a phrase and they say, brother, that'll preach. And it's true. There's a lot of sayings that'll preach. But you just don't want to just start blurting it out and preaching about it. You want to pray about it and talk to God about it and say, now, is this what you want me to preach? You know, and you know the problems of people in the church. I don't. As the pastor, and Brother Keith will know what I'm talking about, I can look out among members and I can see facial changes. You know, your countenance. I can tell when your countenance is low. I can tell when I don't know what problems are going on, but I can kind of look and say, well, they're not as cheerful as usual. Something's bothering. Maybe a personal issue. Might be a spiritual issue. Who knows? Maybe it's something I said torque you off. But nonetheless, we can do that. That's why I pray to God about what I'm going to preach and teach. Because I need to make sure that I'm teaching what the Lord wants me to preach and teach. Because when I start praying about it, the Lord knows our inner thoughts, don't He? He really knows what we think. And when I'm starting to study, the Lord's also speaking to who? He's speaking to me. You know, I'll just be up front with you. This morning's message, when I started studying it several days ago, it kicked me right in the teeth because there's so many things that's been going on because of the month of November. We got the turkeys we had to get a hold of for the school. We got oh man, we got to get all these turkeys to the schools. We had 60 of them. We've got to get all the turkeys cooked and everything bagged up for the homeless. And not to mention, we got a Christmas program coming up. And we've got all of these things. And sometimes I back away from some of my studies and some of my prayer time because I got to get this done. I'm doing it for the Lord, you know. Listen, the devil can get you busy doing the Lord's work. But busy just means being under Satan's yoke. That's actually what it stands for as far as I'm concerned. I can get so busy doing God's work that I'm neglecting doing what I'm supposed to be doing for His people. You see, that brings us to a whole different place in the Scripture. You see, it says, this is what He said. He said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. All right. Hang on to Acts, because we'll probably come back. Yeah, we'll come back. But 1 Peter, if you want to just write it down, you can. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. See, this is what Peter told some pastors. Verse 1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now, he goes in, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And he goes through there telling you, but the main thing here is feed the flock of God, which is among you. In other words, I'm to go into prayer. I'm to study the Word of God, but I'm to pray about what I'm studying. I'm to pray about you guys. I'm to pray about myself. Make sure that I'm where I should be. And if I'm not where I should be, well, then I can't lead you to where you need to be. And so I've got to stay continually in prayer about that. And then I've got to ask the Lord, now, what do you want me to preach? And the Lord may give me a series. He may say, you know what? I want you to go through the book of Philippians. So we started doing that and talking about joy. But then the Lord led me out of the book of Philippians all of a sudden. And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought you wanted me to. Well, something changed. I didn't know what changed, but he knew. So that's the whole idea behind the apostles. When they chose the deacons, they were coming to them and saying, "What? Hey, listen, there's prejudice going on here. They're not taking care of our widows as much as they're taking care of their widows, and blah, 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 blah." And it was no doubt they were Baptists. Because they were murmuring. Baptists are good with that. And the apostles said, whoa, wait a minute. I would say they probably got into the bind themselves saying, wait a second. You know, Peter, how's your prayer life doing? That's probably John. Peter's like, well, I don't know. I've been so busy worrying about these widows. So they said, we need to find some people. That's the whole idea behind what they were doing. They were getting some people to take care of these little things going on, so that they could put more time into praying and studying the Word of God, so that they could feed the flock. Because I'm going to be honest with you, if I'm not feeding you, if you're not gaining Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, somehow something out of that to further your Christian walk, to cause that progression, then that's a fail on my part. You know, you might say, well, no, just you may preach it and I ain't listening. Listen, it's my job to feed you. I can preach you sermons after sermon after sermon and have fun doing it. And when you leave here, you can say, well, I can tell you how to lead somebody to the Lord. What good? I mean, that's a good thing. But there's a whole lot more in the Bible than just leading somebody to the Lord. It's walking the Christian life. And if I'm not feeding you the Word of God, it's so that you're taking it and applying it to your life, then I'm failing. That's why it is so important for teachers to pray and preachers to pray and ask the Lord, how do you want me to? Well, we have a lesson book. This is true. But how do you want me to lead these kids in this lesson book so that they can apply it to their lives? Worked out really good this morning. This was a first for me, by the way. I taught the, what is that, preschool? Yeah, I taught preschool this morning. Very interesting. I walked in the class and they're all like, whoop. And I said, they said, one of them said, where's my teacher? And I said, I am. I'm it. And actually, we had a good time. I told them when it's done, I said, you guys listen better than they do. The adults outside. But, you know, we got to studying, and it was about Jacob, Leah, and what's her name? Rachel. I started to say Ruth. It wasn't Ruth. Rachel, Leah, and Jacob. Jacob was a trickster. Well, they wanted to know what a trickster was, so I kind of told them what a trickster was. And I thought, boy, what a lesson for these little guys. I mean, you know, how am I going to explain two women here? And but then I understood. I'm like, Lord, you need to help me out to give it to them the way they need it. Because I'm good with talking with teenagers and adults. I mean, because I can just tell you, and if you don't like it, talk to God. But, you know, with little kids, you got to give them explanations. And so I explained to them that he was worked and was going to marry Rachel. And she had a veil over her face, and he thought, yeah. And when he got home with her, he lifted the veil, and wrong one. And that's the name of the story, was wrong sister. and I said, his father-in-law played a joke on him. He tricked him. I said, do you know why? Because Jacob, years and years before that, tricked his brother. It's kind of what goes around comes around. And we got to talking about that, and they had to circle these little things. And but see, that's how we need to be praying and asking the Lord how we want to teach the class, how He wants us to, what should we say, and how serious is it? Preschool. They're sitting in there coloring, and they ain't listening to me. I turned that one page. And I said, okay, you got to color it. Well, who is this? And they pointed at the guy. And one little dude over there is named Milagros. Aiden. I said, that's Bill. And he looked over there because somebody else had. He looked at, he said, no. And I said, oh. And I think it was Harley. He said, that's Jacob. I'm like, yeah, they were listening. I didn't think they were, but they were listening to what I said. Aiden's over there coloring away, and I said, that's Bill. And he goes, huh? That ain't Bill. They do listen to us to a point. They take in some of it. And so we need to be teaching them. But we need to be praying about it and asking the Lord what He wants us to show them, because that's important. So before I speak to you about God, I'm going to be talking to God about you and about myself. I want to make sure I'm where I need to be before I start laying the Word of God out there and saying, listen, this is where God says you need to be. Because it ain't just you need to be there. I got to be there too. Because if I ain't there, problem. Just like this morning when I said, we're going to have a film. I got a preacher friend I want you to listen to because I don't want to preach. Everybody's like, huh? No, I didn't do that. So I got to be where I'm supposed to be at as well. Then, and that way we're feeding the flock. When we feed these little guys in these classes, preschool, whether it be preschool or whether it be high school, nonetheless, seek God's will in what you're doing. Because it's important. Because believe it or not, somewhere down the road, they may back up on that. One of these days, they may be in a real bind, and it come to mind what Sister Deanna said, or Sister Destiny, or Brother Kevin, or it may come to mind, and they say, "Oh, yeah, I remember now. I know what to do. I need to pray about it." Well, why? Because at some point, a teacher talked to somebody about doing that. And you know what? I know it works because I've done that before. I've done that in my pastorate. I've backed up and said, "Oh, now I know why Brother Pat said that to me." That was in school. And it's like, oh, makes sense now. Didn't make sense then, but it makes sense now. And I'm glad I was listening. But anyway, he didn't think I always listened, but I did. I watched his actions, I think, more than anything else. What was his last name? Yeah, Brother Pat Lawson. I don't know if you've ever met him. Or Ernie Lawson goes to Japan all the time. That's his brother. But Brother Pat, he would be in there teaching a class, and he would be looking at the wall and teaching us, and he'd get this big smile, and he turned around, and I'm like, "Where'd that come from?" The Holy Spirit was talking to him, apparently through the wall. But I used to get a kick out of him doing that. But it's like you could see the thought when it entered his mind. And I was waiting for it. I'm like, "Here it comes." whatever the Lord just laid on his heart, we're fixing to hear about. And it was good. Verses 5 and 6. It said, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." And I don't want to go through all them reading again because I'll probably mess their names up. "And the word of God increased." Now, I wanted you to notice something, though, in verse 6. Only two of those deacons in verse 6 are well known. Only two of them. You never hear nothing about the rest of them. That's not saying they didn't do anything, okay? That's just, we didn't get the information about them as we did. Stephen, he became the first martyr. It wasn't long after that. Matter of fact, in chapter 7, they did away with him. He became the first martyr. Then you've got Philip. Philip became an evangelist, and he later carried the gospel over into Samaria. He won, who was the dude he chased down on the chariot? Ethiopian eunuch. He won him to Christ. He entertained or opened his house up to the most famous missionary of all other than Jesus, and that was Paul. You read about that later on. So, now, I'm not saying the other guys didn't do anything important, but that's the two the Lord wanted us to know about. And we're going to be studying about Stephen here pretty quick. After praying, the apostles expressed their fellowship with the choice of the church. They were pleased with who the... It didn't say they brought these guys up here and the disciples said, "No, we don't want that one. No." No, they were pleased with what was brought forward. And so they did the laying on of hands. That's an ordination service. Very interesting service if you've never been to one. But anyway, it's a very interesting service, very humbling service. Verse 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." The provision of getting the deacons, getting these men to take care of these little business affairs that sometimes we don't even think are important, but they are. The apostles, by them bringing these to the apostles, this took care of that. And because of that, the gospel was really, what would I say, catapulted out there, and there was great witnessing going on, and because of the spirit of the apostles and the study and the prayer that was going into it, and they were preaching what God wanted. You see, deacons are an essential work to the work of God. They're essential servants to the word of to the work of God. They are important part of a church. Teachers are important part of a church. Just the regular, I don't want to sound, each person of wagon wheel, I'll just put it that way, sounds better. Each person of wagon wheel is important to the service and work for the Lord. Amen. It doesn't matter what you do. It's important. You might say, well, I really don't do nothing other than I come to church and I pray for you, and every now and then I pick up a piece of paper off the floor. You know what? That's important. And it's part of the work of the Lord. So keep that in your prayers, and remember, especially you guys that are teaching, make sure you pray about what you're teaching and how God wants you to teach it. Because that's the important part. And if everybody's doing their part, things go a whole lot smoother. You see, when we started this, it was Satan come in, and what you do? He starts stirring. Because what's the easiest way to mess up a church? That's to get the spirit down. That's to get irritated by little bitty things. And when you get irritated by little bitty things, let me ask you a question. How many of you can tell when I'm not just super happy? Honestly, lift your hand. I know my son would for sure. He knows. He'd walk in the door, and I'm seeing my wife didn't raise her hand. She can't tell. I got her fooled. No, I'm kidding. I'd walk in the door, and she ain't got to see me. She'd just hear my walk. And she's like, something wrong. But how many of you, honestly, that's true. You can see that when something's troubling me or when I'm not just super happy about something, it's there. Same way with me. See, I stand up here and I can see that. I know this is, but don't let Satan take little bitty things and rub you wrong. Because they can. And it can turn into a big, huge thing in a hurry. Doesn't take long at all. And I've let some things off and on get to me, and I didn't take care of it like I should have. You know what the Bible says? And it's not just talking about husbands and wives. You know, over in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe. He said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. But you know what he said right after that? It says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, straighten it out. But the next thing, neither give place to the devil. You know why? Because if you give him about a half an inch of property, he'll just take over the whole acre. Before long, you got a mess. Don't play with the devil. He's brilliantly stupid, but nonetheless, brilliance in there. He's good at what he does. He tricks people. And he's good at it. Irritates you. So be careful with that. All right.